A reading according to the first letter to the Christians in Corinth, chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you've been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hear the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Just stay with me as we sing our gradual hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Be with you.
And also.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark, chapter 13, beginning at the 24th verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the earth, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn this lesson. As soon as the branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also you will see these things taking place. You know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slave in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Would you please be seated? Let us pray. Loving God, may what we share together reveal your hope for your world through us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. I love the theme hope, and I love all that emerges from our reading this morning that brings us real hope. But we thought we might begin our conversation this morning talking about the difference between substantial hope and superficial hope. And I'm going to ask Stuart what he has to say about that. Then I'm going to add my two bobs worth.
I think it's we need to be careful, because to say that something isn't hope, I think undervalues the person and their own hopes. And if we said to somebody, well, what you're talking about isn't hope, is I think is a little devaluing. But so much of the hope that we name at this time of year, I would probably describe gently as superficial. The idea that I'll get what I want for Christmas, that great Auntie Ethel won't embarrass everybody around the Christmas table, that it won't rain on Christmas Day. All those sort of things, I think, have a sense of the superficiality about it. And I think it's because that really the only person that those things benefit is me. But the hope that we speak of at this time of year and during the Advent season, we do have some pretty gnarly readings to reflect on. It doesn't immediately spring out hope when you hear what Mark says in that gospel passage. But the hope that we talk about as Christians is substantial. It has a depth to it. And it has something that you have to dig into to actually reveal, that it might not on the surface look hopeful, but actually when you journey with the experiences that we have together, with the relationships that we are forming, the love that God pours into our lives, that's when we have substantial hope. And that looks nothing like the marketing departments of the major chains in our world today. It looks a lot like what we see in the life and work of Jesus and the early apostles.
I think that the first hope that you spoke about, which we kind of caught a glimpse of in the opening video, which was really excellent, by the way. Stuart wrote this, is writing the scripts for these videos. It's not always, that was not his voice, that was Leanne's voice.
That's right.
We caught a glimpse of that. And I'd have to say that during my life, there have been so many, I would have to say, really big disappointments, really big disappointments. And I think that if my hope had been that all of those things just work out swimmingly, then I would be a very dejected person. And I think that we kind of tap into, it's like we want those hopes, we make those hopes our goals, and when they don't come to fruition, we get left stranded. We're sort of washed up on the beach. But when our hope is in who God is, in that substantive hope, then we will never get left washed up on the beach, because who God is the one that in all things can provide what it is that we need. And in God, our lives do have meaning and great purpose, even amidst the disappointments, even amidst the things that don't work out the way that we would have had them work out if it had been our choice and our within our power to do so. But those things are not within our power, and we need to let them go. And so by really paying attention, and we'll get to paying attention very shortly, but paying attention to who God is and that the hope that St. Paul speaks about so often in his letters is hope that we can have because of who God is and because of the life that we have in Christ and because of the ever-present enabling and inspiring of God's Holy Spirit in our lives.
But as I said, it's a pretty heavy reading that we left you with this morning. Actually, it wasn't us who chose that. It was
we did not.
Our lectionary writers, in their wisdom, chose that that piece of Mark's Gospel, which the category of that writing we would call apocalyptic or eschatological, which is a way of saying it's looking towards what will happen at the end. And they are important parts of what we consider good news. But one of the things that we discussed when we talked about this passage was that in every generation, there seems to have been some deep struggle or deep trauma that has shaped that generation. That could easily have been seen as being the end of the world as we know it. For me, in my generation, they categorise me as Gen X. I grew up towards the end of the Cold War. And nuclear disarmament was the hot topic of the time. And finishing high school, we had record unemployment. So my generation not only didn't think the world would last because we would blow each other up, that we wouldn't get a job. And so that really did deeply form myself and others who call themselves Generation X.
Whereas I can remember very clearly, as I'm sure you all can too, September 11 in 2001, and my children, my Gen Y children, who are now in their 30s, the significant impact of that. Up until that time, I think that, you know, the world was going along okay, and they probably weren't aware of the significant divisions that exist in the world. But 9/11 truly shaped them. I remember driving them to school that morning and driving up the M1, and everyone had their headlights on and driving slowly. And, you know, we've all got our memories. But I think then what has unfolded subsequently, and for the last 20 years, our world has been shaped in many ways by that. And so our children, our young adult children, have been shaped by that. But in every generation, at all times throughout history, there are many times. I found it interesting that in the first century, there wasn't this sense of living to make things better as we do. We always just think that we're living from generation to generation, the next generation will make things better than the last generations. That they didn't have that sense of things evolving and growing, that things were just as they were. And so for our first century people, whose thoughts and approach to life we see reflected in the Gospels and in Paul's letters, there was this sense of imminence that this return of Jesus would happen soon. So it's really fascinating that in this reading from Mark this morning, we see drawn together lots of the themes that we've been exploring in Matthew over the last few weeks as we've looked at some of those end times passages in Matthew, but we see some of the threads kind of drawn together very succinctly in Mark this morning.
Yeah, and certainly one of the things that really jumped out at me as I was hearing this passage again was that Jesus does say that this generation will not pass. And in light of what Marianne said about how the first century world saw itself, God sees us as the same generation as those people. We are still that generation. We're the ones that put the dividers between X, Y, boomers, builders. That's not how God sees us. And it's something I find quite challenging that I like to point out what's different about me. But actually, where I find hope is understanding that the things that I'm dealing with have been dealt with in the past and will be dealt with in the future. And the thing that holds us in community is the love of God.
So there's probably not a lot of point in spending large amounts of time and energy in predicting when Jesus will return. But there does seem to be value and a point in spending large amounts of time and energy in paying attention to the fact that Jesus is here now, that Christ has come and Christ is and Christ will come again, but Christ is here, and that as we give large amounts of attention to that, that is how we might help our world to share in this hope that God offers us. I think that those of us who are very much part of church communities and have been for a very long time lose sight of the fact that so many people have no idea of this concept of hope, that actually there is an ultimate hope or an ultimate peace or an ultimate source of love. That is not the lived reality of so many people in our world. And I'm thinking for myself that the challenge this Advent will be to put myself in their shoes and to think, what would it be like to actually not just take it for granted, but actually hear for the first time that there is reason to have hope in our broken and divided world that's not just torn apart in the Middle East, but in North Africa and in Europe and in all the wars that take place in South America and all the other places of terrible division, that there is point in spending large amounts of time and energy on bringing and being the hope of Christ in our world.
I want to be really clear. I absolutely believe Christ will come again. We will say this in our Eucharistic prayer. But we're living in a world increasingly where people don't understand our hope. And so it can sometimes come across as quite trite when people are seeing what's going on in the world and we just say something like, oh, well, Jesus will come back and fix it when he comes again. Because I think the problem with that is it absolves us of our need to actually be the hope and the bearers of hope. That I do believe Christ will come again and all will be well. I love that line in the movie that says, it'll be all right in the end. If it's not all right, it's not the end. But in the meantime, who has the hope? We do. And so the hope that we share for those who aren't part of the Christian community has to be something that is substantial. And I think it's kind of superficial to us to walk up to somebody who's not a believer and say, ah, it's all right, Jesus will come back and fix it. That's superficial hope to them. They think that we're raving lunatics. They probably think that anyway. But actually to journey with them in their struggle, to come alongside them, to understand their pain rather than dismiss it, that's where we find hope.
And so we touched on this last week, that actually the way of being hope and of bringing compassion to the people that we encounter in our lives has not changed. That our human need for reassurance and to feel connection, to be heard and listened to, has not changed. And so it simply means that, and I think our reading today draws that out beautifully, that we are to pay attention. Just like last week, he talked about being watchful and paying attention. And that is what we are to do as we encounter people, to be in the moment with them, to pay attention. What is it that they're hearing and understanding? And what is it that we might do and be in that encounter? I really, I love this book by Tim Costello, Hope. As you'll know, Tim Costello was CEO of World Vision for many, many years. And in one of the chapters, he talks about being in West Pakistan after a terrible earthquake that had dreadful casualties. And as he was sitting around with bearded men in robes and turbans, one of them said to me, he says, "Why is World Vision, a Christian humanitarian organization, helping us in our suffering?" He was so thankful we were helping, but also so surprised. "I heard myself say," says Tim Costello, "because Jesus did not say, just love Christians." We are all God's children. Even as I said these words, I found myself in an out-of-body moment, surprised at observing how far I had come in my journey. If you want to read more about that journey, you could get the book, Tim Costello on Hope. But I thought that was a profound example of what hope can look like as we are prepared to pay attention and listen and be with, and not for one moment compromise who we are as Christians, but to be in the space fully as a Christian person to offer what it is we have to offer.
And I think that is part of the promise of God, is that when we seek out hope, hope will be found. It just might not look like what we think it will look like. And it won't be superficial. And it won't look like anything like that perfect Christmas present, that guitar or that golf club that I've been coveting, or the golf balls that I've lost over the last couple of weeks. That it actually looks surprisingly different. That it might look like something that we least expect. But that, I find, that is so much more hopeful than the hope that I can imagine in my mind. That the hope of God's imagination is lived out through you and I and revealed in such surprising ways. Like those shoots on the fig tree, they will be found. Summer has arrived. It is a season of hope.
Have we got time?
We do, yeah.
Got a closing story. The rescue from the collapsed tunnel in the Himalayas, 41 men rescued. What a profound story of hope. There was no guarantee that any of those people would come out alive. And as Arnold Dix, the Australian who headed up the rescue team, in that really unstable environment, they proceeded painstakingly, slowly, to ensure that the tunnel didn't collapse in their rescue efforts. As I read and heard about that story, I thought of the way that we are on this journey of bringing hope to others, that sometimes we can barge in with our words and our actions and the whole thing can come crumbling down. But if we pay attention and we really deeply care for the well-being, for the benefit of the person or the people that we're encountering, we will go as slowly as it needs to take so that we don't sabotage the opportunity that we have. How the person responds is not up to us. There are no guarantees about how the people that we come alongside will respond. But what we can do is to ensure that all that we do and say actually is helpful in reaching them for their sake, not for ours.
So let's pray. Loving God, you come to bring hope, and that hope is for us, but for the benefit of others. As we seek carefully that substantial hope that you have gifted to us throughout every generation, help us to see those new shoots of life, to read the sign of the times, and to carefully speak of hope for the benefit of others. Amen. Let's continue to pray together.